This morning's reading, and much to my delight, is only two verses long. You're the 15-verse spread there. Like, what? Anyway, this morning's reading is from Hebrews chapter 21, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire.
Before we take our time outside and feast together, we pause for just a moment to remember the amazing times that we share with wonderful people. And I'm so glad and so privileged at this time to introduce our speakers for this morning who will come and help us think a little more about this idea of growing in gratitude. It's not just an idea, it's not just something we talk about and in media or this consumerist world that we live in. It's a real way of life. And we all approach it differently. We have our own perspectives, but at the end of the day, God calls us to grow and live in gratitude, because as we do that, our lives speak hope and our lives speak joy. So Debbie and CJ and Kathleen, thank you. But most importantly, we love you for what you'll do with us and for us today. Debbie.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name's Debbie Granger, and I was privileged to stand before this congregation earlier this year when I became a member of Fairview Community Church, and I'm so privileged and honored to be a part of this group. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time sharing about one of the things that brought me to Fairview back at the very beginning of 2015, but I will share that, as many of you know, my family has had a positive resolution to something that was very frightening, and my son, who was diagnosed with cancer at the very, very beginning of the year, is in remission, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. So, thank you. Thank you. And one of the things that this odyssey with my son Ryan brought me to think about was keeping my gratitude in check, or checking in on my gratitude. Because when you're dealing with something really scary and overwhelming, it can be easy, well, for me anyway, it was easy to slip out of that space. And so I thought about a gratitude check that I was able to kind of create for myself, and I thought I would share it with you today, and it's an opportunity for you to reflect on your own sense of gratitude, how you're expressing your gratitude, how you're feeling gratitude, and maybe even set some gratitude goals for yourself. This is a time of year when we see lots of commercials and lots of things all around us telling us that we're supposed to be exuberant and overjoyed and everything's wonderful all around us. And there are a lot of folks who are struggling right now, and that they don't necessarily automatically look forward to this time of year. For some people, this is a time of dread. And how might we be able to connect with that sense of gratitude in ourselves to be able to carry us through into the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons and then into the year beyond? A long time ago, a pastor who I thought the world of shared with me a little bit about, in a nutshell, the difference between different denominations. And he said there were three things. One was faith, one was acts, one was grace. And he said that all denominations focus on these three things, but the balance is a little bit different. And I was grateful at that time to belong to a denomination where they emphasized grace, because I needed it. And And so, as I have matured in my life and have thought about these three things, they bring me back to what I'm going to be sharing with you about gratitude this morning. And the idea that acts are the things that we do to express our gratitude, and perhaps the things that we do that allow others to experience gratitude. And the faith is our belief in a loving God and the people who attempt to walk in his footsteps, and our belief in the good intentions of others. And then, of course, there's the grace part, that in spite of ourselves, that we still have lots and lots of reasons to be grateful, to be thankful, to have so much that we can appreciate. So, moving into reflecting on gratitude, I'd like to walk you through some questions that you can be reflecting and thinking about and kind of prime the pump for the upcoming seasons. So as you think about 2015 so far, how would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5 in terms of feeling gratitude? I know I've been all over the spectrum on that this year, but where would you put yourself? How about expressing gratitude? Where would you place yourself on that scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest? Where would you put yourself? As you think about those scores that you gave yourself, what things have led up to the scores you just gave yourself? What are you remembering that results in those scores? Sometimes for me, my gratitude came from a phone call from the office manager at the oncologist's office, or sometimes it came from a cookie that a child gave to me at school, or sometimes it came from me being able to do something else for someone else because of something that I had learned. If someone else rated you on your expression of gratitude, what score would they give you? How much thanks do you share with the world? Excuse me. How do you feel that your expressions of gratitude affect others? When you say thankful, when you say thank you, and when you express your thankfulness, how does that affect the people around you? What do you feel that you do especially well in the area of gratitude? Either in expressing it or in nurturing the feelings of it. What might be a gratitude goal that you'd like to set for yourself for the upcoming holidays? Could be in terms of feeling gratitude, could be in terms of expressing it. How are you going to be able to tell you've met your goal? Who are some people, maybe people right here today, that might help you achieve your goal? If you want to practice saying thank you, if you want to do nice little deeds to make other people feel grateful, who might you be able to help? Or who might be able to help you? Who are some of your gratitude role models? I see a bunch of mine in this room right now. How might you manage the many emotions that sometimes seem to overwhelm or be in conflict with gratitude? And as you go into the holiday season, what do you want to stay especially aware of as you focus on gratitude? One thing that I plan to stay especially aware of is my gratitude for each and every one of you here. There have been times when I've sat in the back and just sat there and appreciated all of you. And I know that there are days where you do that for others. So I have the privilege today of saying thank you to all of you. And I hope your holidays are wonderful And I hope that this little exercise helped you to think a little bit and get focused on how you want to be in the world. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I hope you're all doing well. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my amazing, beautiful, and supportive wife, and for spending Thanksgiving together as husband and wife for the first time. I'm thankful for our dogs, who have the ability to know exactly at 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. that it's time for their walks. It is amazing. I assume dogs don't know how to tell time, but they do. I'm grateful for sharing with friends the joy of seeing their families grow over the past year. But if I were to provide three big picture things that I'm grateful for, it's family, neighbors, and community. For family, it's traditional, it's non-traditional, it's adopted, it's not formally adopted, but you're their family. It's friends, it's coworkers, it's church, it's a warm embrace, it's a shoulder to cry on, it's who we love, and it's those who love us, even when we may not love ourselves. For neighbors, those are loving and appreciating neighbors who live on our streets, in our neighborhoods throughout our city. Those who work and serve in our neighborhoods. Those with loving open doors. Those who have closed doors that need some extra love. Those with homes, those without homes. Those who look like us, those who don't. Those who practice the same faith, and those who believe in different things. It's the great mix of neighbors that make us a community. I love my communities because they are people who make it an eclectic, exciting place to be. Our community may be our family, our neighbors, but it's also our church, our local stores, coffee shops, restaurants, schools, and parks. Our community is open, it's welcoming, and it's affirming of who we are, not what we want you to be. As we are grateful for all that we have, I can't help but think of those who may question who their family is, who may not know their neighbors, who may not have a community to go to, or who may feel threatened by their community. It's hard not to appreciate what we have around us, but there are others in our surrounding communities, in places, in other cities, in other states, in other countries, who may be hurting, who may be lost, or who may not feel welcome. People who are told communities have to look a certain way, who are portrayed as people who fear, we should fear, who are generalized and vilified and treated as unwanted. You may have experienced this, and if you have, I'm sorry. It may be because of the color of your skin, for who you love, the gender you were born with, the gender you identify with, for what you believe, because of where you came from, or whatever asinine lie it may have been told to you. However, I'm grateful that not everyone feels that families, neighbors, and communities are structured to serve a select few, because they exist for everyone. They exist because you are loved and you deserve to be loved. Even if you don't feel it internally or externally, I'm grateful that I, you, and all people can feel a part of something and know that we are not alone. And as communities, we can support and should support those who don't feel a part, who don't feel welcomed, and we should welcome them. I'm grateful for our ability to do this and to expand our amazing community. Thank you all, and have an amazing Thanksgiving.
Good morning. It's a different view from up here than in this pew, so I'll say that. So my name is Kathleen Gregory, and I'm so excited and privileged to be able to be up here today. So when Sarah asked me to speak about being thankful, honestly, I have to tell you, I was thrilled. But then all of the memories of my life started flooding in, and the hard ones, the good ones, my failures, my wins, my mistakes, things that I wish I would have done over. And then one of my favorite verses kept repeating, and we actually heard it earlier today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118:24. Wow, what a powerful verse, wouldn't you agree? Really listen to what it has to say. Today is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it. It makes me want to stand on the rooftop and just shout it, doesn't it, you? So that is actually what God truly makes every single day unique. And it's our job to see the beauty in it, rejoicing in every moment, every ray of sunshine, every smile that you see, the innocence of children at play. Be glad in it. Are we truly glad every single day? It's a choice. It's a choice to be happy, and it's a choice to, well, be a grump. We'll just be honest. I have made the choice to fill my life with joy, gratitude, and constantly thanking God for everything, even when I don't want to. As I said, I was flooded with memories that led to me where I am today. And a few really stood out, and it could have been so easy to give up and not have gratitude in the midst of these situations. I was born in Idaho, as many of you know, and I was the oldest of two children. My mom having to work full-time as a single mother, I pretty much played mom all the time. I would have to drop my brother off at school, pick my brother up from school, make sure dinner was ready, and I would have to drop him off at, of course, my favorite place now, the Boys and Girls Club, every single day. And I thank God for that, because that's where I met my husband, Clint, over 12 years ago. That's happened to where he worked. So we'll tell you how I met him there. Also, during high school, I was in a very sexual, physical, and emotional abusive relationship for almost 3 years. Sometimes I wondered if I was even going to get out of it. But as you can see, I did. And I thank God for that time in my life. Because of that, a passion grew inside of me to make sure that no one ever feels and is treated the way that I was treated. And so I do that by educating young women that they are valuable and they deserve God's love and love from one another. Right after my senior year of high school, my best friend was killed due to domestic violence as well. She didn't make it. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to deal with to lose her. And I was so thankful for one that Clint was there to support me in it. But also, I was thanking God for it afterwards. Because of that, laws were changed in Idaho to be able to protect teens against domestic violence. Fast forward us 10 years later in 2015, I got a phone call from a friend that said that she had a great opportunity for our family. She was starting a new company, and she wanted to hire Clint as a head executive in this company. But we had to move out of state, away from our family, where we didn't know anybody, and we had to start completely over. We took a leap of faith and we jumped. We moved here to California with all intent that he would start this job with a couple months and everything would be great. Well, through many twists and turns, we found out that the company we moved out here for fell through. It was a sham. And we went on, we weren't going to get any reimbursement for the company for moving here. Oh my gosh, could you imagine? Talk about wanting to throw our hands up in the air, and here we were in a state that, well, is double the cost. We didn't know anyone, and we were wondering how we were going to make it. In the middle of all of this, we had to buy a new car because ours broke down. I was by myself. My dog, which was my best friend, died. We delivered a baby through surrogacy. Whew, that's a lot in 4 months when you're in a new place with no support at all. It could have been so easy to get mad. Okay, I'll be honest. I was a little mad. And to throw our hands up in the air. But how could I when there were so many great things to be grateful for in the last 4 months? My son, Caden, the 11-year-old, for the very first time in 11 years, made his very first friend that was not a family member. He also found something that calms him, the ocean. Clint found a job in a company that he loves to work for and actually enjoys his job and found a passion that he loves that actually he would only be able to do near the coast. We wouldn't have been able to do it in Idaho. Jackson, he loves school, and he loves his teachers, and to be part of a school system that actually appreciates their children and their teachers, we wouldn't have gotten that if we would have moved here. We found a church that we never want to leave, the Sunshine. I love being entertained, and as well as you know, as you all know, there is an endless supply of things to do here. So, and you can all follow me on Facebook. You'll see that I post pictures all the time. Our family has grown stronger as a unit since we only have each other here. I could go on and on about what we love here, but gratitude. That is what got me and us through this very tough last four months. Finding the blessings in what God was and is giving us through this stage of our lives. The best choice I have is to trust him and his plan and really appreciate every moment in life. Author Melody Beattie says, gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for our today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Doesn't that sound like what God wants for us? He doesn't want us to live our life feeling discouraged, weak, or weary. There is so much more to do than that, but we have to be willing to look up and see it. Church of Fairview, I ask you to find appreciation and gratitude along your journey and to be the light for someone else in someone else's life, because when you needed it, there was someone there for you. I'm going to end with my life verse that I cling to. And if you don't have one for yourself, you can borrow this from me. And I actually am going to take these and you can pass them down, and then I'll read what the verse is. And it's from Joshua 1:9, and God asks us to trust him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be for wherever you go. God is with us in all of our journeys and will never leave us alone. That is a promise. This last few months, I have felt alone, but I remember this verse and it helps me, as I hope it will help you find the beauty in what God is creating in your life right now. Thank you.